Okay, we're going to start in Proverbs 15:22. Without counsel, purposes are disappointed, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established. Let's continue on to Proverbs 12:15. We're going to hang out in Proverbs just a little bit here. Proverbs is a book of contrasting foolishness with wisdom. Verse 15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. Even if you're not a total fool, sometimes you can logically think a thing through and still be wrong. You'd be right in your own eyes, but maybe not the best. But he that hearkens unto counsel is wise. Proverbs 11:14. Where no counsel is, the people fail or fall, but in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Proverbs 19, verse 20. Hear counsel and receive instruction that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. And Proverbs 24, 1 through 7. Be not thou envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them. For their heart studies destruction, and their lips talk of mischief. Through wisdom is an house builded, and by understanding it is established. And by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. A wise man is strong, yea, a man of knowledge increases strength. For by wise counsel thou shalt make war, and in the multitude of counselors there is safety. Wisdom is too high for a fool. He opens not his mouth in the gate. And the gate is a place where the wise men of the community would sit in the Bible times. I know in Ruth it talks about they went to get understanding of what Boaz had to do to be able to claim Ruth as his wife from the men who sat in the gate. They had wisdom and they knew things. And so he was able to go get counsel from them. Isn't that interesting? It's an interesting time, the Bible times. Okay, and then we're going to go back to Proverbs 15 and read this section. And this section I was reading, and it inspired me to look more deeply into Proverbs on the subject of counseling. In Proverbs 15, and we're going to, whoops, I went too far. 15 verse 26 we're going to start in. Proverbs 15:26 through 33 is what we're going to read now. The thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord, but the words of the pure are pleasant words. He that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house, but he that hateth gifts shall live. The heart of the righteous studieth to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pour out evil things. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. The light of the eyes rejoices the heart, and a good report makes the bones fat. The ear that hears the reproof of life abides among the wise. He that refuses instruction despises his own soul, but he that hears reproof gets understanding. And their last verse here, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. I loved this section when I read it. It went straight to my heart. So let's just go and think about it a little bit. We'll reread it and think about it because it's in Old English. The thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord, but the words of the pure are pleasant words. And what's pure? The Word of God. And when we have the Word of God in our heads and our hearts, those are the thoughts that we'll have, and that's what we'll be speaking one to another even, and that is pleasant. That's pleasant. It's lovely. He that is greedy of gain, we sometimes see people in the world who all they want is gain. They just want money and things, and they collect them. But he that's not the true treasure, really. He that hates gifts shall live. The heart of the righteous studies to answer. He thinks about it before he speaks, the wise man. He doesn't just open his mouth and start blah, blah, blah. He thinks about it to give a wise answer, a good answer. But the mouth of the wicked just open up and they pour out whatever they're thinking. It just comes out, whether it's good or bad. And the Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous man. And the light of the eyes, which is getting understanding, rejoices the heart. When we have a good understanding of the Word of God, and a good report is like when you do the Word and you have a good ending, it accomplishes that which pleases God. It's a good report, the healing and the health that comes to you. And that's what the fat bones is, healing and health to you. And that's what the Word of God is. It's wisdom and it's healing and health to us. And here's the tough part. The ear that hears reproof of life abides among the wise. And we know from scriptures that God only reproves those he loves. So we are well loved when we hear that reproof, and whether it's in the Word. And I don't think of it as a shameful thing. I think of it as a learning process. When we hear the Word and you go, oh, this goes right to my heart. Because that's what this section did for me. It went right to my heart. I had to think about these things. And so the ear that hears the Word of God, the Word of life, abides among the wise. He that refuses instruction despises his own soul. It's that saying where we say he cut off his nose despite his face. That kind of thing. If you feel like you're ugly, you don't cut your nose off because you just make yourself uglier. So, you know, it's he that refuses instruction despises his own soul. But he that hears reproof gets understanding. And the respect of God is the instruction of wisdom. And look at this. Before honor is humility. You don't get the honor unless you're in that humility zone. So that was pretty, I was like, whoa, this is deep stuff. So I had to think on that for a while. And I really enjoyed reading this stuff. And then I started thinking about the family of God. So I want to look at Ephesians 5:21. The counsel of the Lord. When we speak the word one to another, and if we don't understand something, we can get counsel. Or if we're not doing well in an area, we can go and talk with our brothers and sisters in Christ and get help. Ephesians 5, verse 21. When I was in Vienna, I was traveling in a strange land, a foreign land. And there's plenty of English speaking people there, but their main language is German. So I don't speak the language. So I was dependent upon the family that I was with. And I had to take their counsel. I had to listen to what they had to say, and they helped me. I didn't know the public transportation. I followed what they did. I followed them. And they said, come on, we're going to do this. And I said, okay, let's do that. And then I have gluten allergies. So I needed their counsel on how to eat so that I wouldn't get sick. And they helped me. So I listened to what they had to say. They had already been there for a while. They knew the way of this town. And so I had to listen and take their counsel. So in Ephesians 5:21, it says, submitting yourselves one to another in the respect of God. This is a respectful thing. It's God wants us to do this. This is actually, you need to do this. Submit yourselves one to another in the respect of God, in the fear of God. And the word submit there is an interesting word because I have had trouble with it a lot in my life. But not too long ago, I decided to go and look at this word and not let it be a stumbling block to me when I would read the word submit. And I find it very interesting because the stumbling block one was the next verse down. But this verse makes it all clear to me, really, that we are to submit ourselves one to another in the family of God. And so I went and looked it up, and the word submit means to yield or by proper arrangement. And within the family of God, that's what we do one with another. We submit. We listen to the word of God that our brothers and sisters are speaking to us. We hear the wisdom in the word of God, and we are helped. That's submitting one to another. And we do this because it's God's word, not because somebody else says look, I think we should do this. Or it's the word of God. We all agree that that is our rule. That's what we're living by. So then we're able to speak the word one to another to help one another. And then we can listen and hear the wisdom in it and be helped. Because someone is lording it over us, because we have fears of our past, sometimes it's harder and harder for us to get over that. But we need to get beyond it. We don't want to let that kind of past misunderstandings muddy the waters of our understanding of the scriptures, of the Word of God. And just because you don't like something in the Word of God doesn't mean that it's not true. And it can really help you if you go to the Word and get it resolved. Or you can go, we have plenty of counselors in the Word. You have brothers and sisters in Christ who have great wisdom that you can go and talk it over and get it resolved and figure it out. So this word submit is a wonderful thing. And we are able to recognize wisdom. So we know when we are sitting with a counselor and they are talking with us, and we are able to recognize that wisdom and hear it and be helped by it. So let's go to Romans. Well, did I read the whole section I wanted to read? Let's just read it. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. Okay, let's go to Romans 12. Let's start in 9. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor or dislike that which is evil, or hate that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. And I love this verse because we don't need to go to worldly things or outside things. We can go directly to God, and we can go to one another in the family. And if love is always our motivation, then we will speak the word to one another in a loving way that we can be helped with that love of God. And we care for one another. We really honestly have this deep compassion one for another, that we really want each other to help and to do well. And, I think of Deb and I had this situation where I thought, okay, I'm going to go be with Deb. What could I bring her? And so I decided, oh, I'll bring her her favorite wine. So then I show up and Deb shows up with my favorite wine. So then we're so concerned one for the other and getting the thing that would bless them, that we both get our needs met. And it's a simple illustration, I think, of the way the family of God works, that if we are seeking to bless one another, our needs will be met too, will be taken care of as well. 1 Peter, here we go. 1 Peter 2:13. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme. It's the same thing here. Yield to the rules of the land, the laws. You have to obey the speed limit. You know, you have the laws of the land. You just yield to that. And that's exactly what it means. And we're in this together. And I just love this stuff. Once you get a good understanding of what something means, it opens up new vistas to you. So getting an understanding of that word submit has really been super. Now, one of the things that I would like to say about the family of God and submitting and yielding one to another and having many counselors is that we're in this thing together, and there is a certain commitment there that we make when we make Jesus Christ Lord in our lives. In Romans 10:9, it says that, you know, Jesus Christ is Lord. You make him Lord. That's a commitment. And so we're kind of in this thing together. We make a commitment that Jesus Christ is Lord, and we're going to help one another, and that we're going to give good counsel, and that we're going to do the word together. So I think that's pretty cool. Let's look at Philippians 2. Starting in 1. If there be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill you my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem the other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. There have been times in my life where someone has had a great need, and I've been able to help fill that need. I've been able to help them. And I have thought about why. Why did I do it? And I thought if I didn't do it, I would feel horrible because I have the thing they need and I can help them. So now I've just given away this thing and I don't have it anymore. But I gave it away, it fulfilled the need, and I know it would be worse for me to keep it and have that sense of I didn't do the thing that I was supposed to do. I don't know. Do you understand what I mean? And it's such a feeling of joy when you can fill a need for a person, a brother and sister in Christ. And many times the need is for quality time, for words of affirmation, you know. And all we have to do is look to the Word to see what God thinks of us, one another. And then we speak those things. Those can fill a need even more than giving money or taking someone out to eat, although those can be wonderful things, and that can be a great joy to be able to give that. But how about a car? You know, if you have a car and somebody needs a car and you don't need the money from it, then give it away. Those are kind of things that we can do one for another. But I think that the more greater things are the spending of the quality time. They are the words of affirmation that we speak one to another. I think though that's where our treasure is, in that fellowship one with another, and that we can be united. So, 2 Corinthians 4:5. 2 Corinthians 4:5. Here's a good one for counselors. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. And ourselves, we are servants. We are bond slaves for Jesus' sake. Isn't that great? When we're one with another, we don't preach ourselves. We preach the Word of God. That's what we want to speak. That's what we want to teach if we're going to help one another and counsel one another. And I love that. And not ashamed. We should not be ashamed to go and talk and get wise counsel if we need it. We should go and talk with our brother and sister in Christ and choose a person that you trust. You know, a person that you respect. You know they're going to speak the Word to you, and they're going to do it with that love motivation, that they have great compassion. Go and talk with them. Get counseled. I don't think we do it enough, that we could go and just sit and talk and get the Word that we need to hear for a specific situation. Because I know I've been in situations where I can't hear, I can't see. I just need someone to love me and to get through to my heart. So then you can go and do that. You can get counseled. I think it's an underutilized thing within the family of God. And the only thing that would keep us back from doing it is pride, that we have it all together. But the truth is, everyone has needs. We all have needs. And you, even if it's just to go and stand with a brother and sister in Christ in prayer, you know, and I know that for a while, Don and I were alone in Wisconsin. There was no one really. We had to come down here to fellowship with you guys. We didn't have anybody. And so we did that. We did that. We went and we were with fellowship. We were with people. We were with wise counsel. We listened and we were helped. We heard the wisdom. Psalm 33:11. Actually, I want to go to Psalm 1 first. Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Now, I'd like to add a little bit here of insight into this, is that it's so easy to say, I don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, and I don't sit in the way of the sinners. But sometimes it's just a matter of not doing it, just not being where you're supposed to be and where you're supposed to be sitting. It's not a matter of it. I don't know if I'm explaining this correctly, but I think this is an easy one to go, well, I don't do that. I think we should just think about that a minute. You know, what does that entail today? Because this is old English. And so then it says, his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law does he meditate day and night. That blessed man is a man who is delighted in the word of God. And he thinks about it. It's what he dwells on. It's what he holds dear in his heart. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season. And his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does will prosper. And now let's end in Psalm 33:11. Verse 11. The counsel of the Lord, that's going to stand forever. And the thoughts of his heart to all generations. God bless. I love you.